Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Do you mind if I ask how you got the name Izzy Kamikaze?
I think we'll save that one for later, Ben.
All right.
I'm still remembering the last time I dealt with you on social media. Am I still blocked by you?
I don't recall it. In my line of work, you have a lot of run-ins with people, so...
We're very young. It was maybe 10 years ago.
That's Dinner with the Enemy. It starts tonight at 9 p.m. on Virgin Media One. James Dempsey's with us once again. Afternoon, James. So I suppose people would be familiar with this concept.
It's a bulked-up version of what used to be Eating with the Enemy. Yeah. And I recall doing Eating with the Enemy when it first debuted in 2021, sitting in this very chair now. And much like you and I sitting alone here in the studio, that involved two people on, quote-unquote, the opposite side of the political divide, sitting down for a meal and kind of talking. And I remember thinking, like, first of all, this kind of social experiment, I mean, I hate when people call these things social experiments, right? Because where's the rigorous science? But like, it was a bit too nice in the sense that if you are actually face to face with someone and a camera is pointed at you, you probably soften your punches, pull your punches a little bit. And, you know, it was a bit too nicey-nicey and everyone was kind of getting on. They have decided instead to bulk it up to Dinner with the Enemy. Now, I'm not saying that they took their cues from...
What's the difference there? What were they eating in the previous season? It was just a sandwich, like.
Brunch, right? Yeah. This time around, let's just say they might have taken their cues from a popular international format where people sit at a round table, right?
Right, okay.
So this time around, we have 10 diners at the dinner table representing multiple facets of the geopolitical divide. Well,
right.
They're all Irish,
okay.
I guess I should say. But they all represent various different beliefs or identities, etc. I mean, some of them are well known, I would say. Andy Lee is an Irish porn star who is as well known for talking about being a porn star as he is for being a porn star.
He's been on this show.
Izzy Kamikaze, queer activist.
Yeah.
Ben Scallon, a conservative journalist. Natasha O'Brien, victims' rights advocate, amongst others. And I have to admit, I went in with medium expectations and I found this sort of deliciously fun.
Right?
Now look, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Is this going to move the dial in anyone's political beliefs and, you know, unite us as a citizenry as we head towards a new polity together? No, it's not going to do that. That is not what it's trying to do. This is trying to be fun, entertaining, gotchas and catty quips and so on and so forth.
It
absolutely got me. You know, I was about 10 minutes into the first episode, which airs tonight, when that clip with Izzy Kamikaze came on, and I even paused it and made my husband come in and listen to it.
And who's she saying that with? Who's she
saying that to? Ben Scallon,
who
blocked her on Twitter 10 years ago, and she has it, she's let it go. Let's put it
that way. Of course she has,
right? So look, all in, is this the worst table you could ever be at a wedding? Yes, definitely, right?
Yeah.
It is a bunch of people who are designed to be to rub off against each other in increasingly combative ways. If the producers think this is not working enough, they actually send them direct topics to talk about. And the kind of meaty topics they touch with on this opening episode include racism, immigration and hate speech. So I'm not quite sure where we're going to go in the remaining 4 weeks to 5 weeks of the show. But it promises great bombast. Now, there's also two psychotherapists who kind of observe from another room and make comments on what's happening. Dr. Richard Hogan and Daniela Moyles. To me, they didn't necessarily add an awful lot to it, but I understand you need someone to kind of like direct the viewers
into. Make it seem respectable?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? But like, what I would say is, enjoy it as a spectacle rather than something that's meant to be respectable. Yeah. It's respectacle. So basically, all in. It is an hour of people arguing, and if you are missing the traitors, right, there is something traitoresque about it as they each move around the table and they accuse each other of doing various, you know, misspeaking or inventing facts or alternative facts or whatever you want to say. Yeah, I found it kind of fun in a traitors-y type of people arguing and bitching to each other. But yeah. All in, is it going to change the world? No.
No. Now, is it, just to understand the format, all 10 of them are at the table?
Yes.
And this is a one-off or this is a series?
No, they sit down, my understanding from my memory is they sit down for 5 nights. So we're looking at 5 Mondays.
Ah, right. Okay, so they have dinner 5 times.
Yes, they have dinner 5 times. Now, I believe, I don't want to go too much into what happens because there is potential to veer into spoiler territory.
Sure.
Which is an unusual thing to say about this kind of model. But let's just say, all I would say going in is the lineup may or may not change throughout the throughout the run. That is unclear, but potential. That's all I'm going to hint
because
at.
You'd think in a, was it an hour long show that 10 people don't get the chance to say a lot, really? Do they focus on different people different nights?
Well, yes, I think that is a fair point. I mean, of the 10 people I named here, those are the ones that probably were the stars of this opening episode. And there are, I throw into that as well, model Sophie McGuinness, who is particularly strong in this episode as well. The rest, some of them are a bit on the sideline, you know, in the sense that there's a Irish TikToker, Jacob Dunnigan, who I'm not familiar with, although he is from County Meath, my home county, who is quite quiet even himself. And sort of he's walking in, they do a kind of little, you know, Big Brother style, Love Island style introduction of who they are, in which he's going, well, I'm kind of a quiet person. And I'm thinking, what are you going to find up for here? Paycheck? Anyway, but all in, it's shot beautifully. I mean, fair play to Animal TV.
Is it in a restaurant?
It's not in a restaurant. It's in a stately looking house. What it quite is, I hadn't quite worked out, but, you know, I'm sure that's clear in the credits, shall we say. But put it this way, I think a valid criticism a lot of people had of the Traitors Ireland is that, you know, at times it looked, let's say, budget, right? That the budget didn't stretch all too far in places. This here is shot very, very nicely. It looks expensive. It looks well made. Obviously, they're dealing with only, you know, 5 nights as opposed to like 2 weeks or whatever how long it takes to film The Traitors. But all in, I thought, there's I'm reluctant to say something I quite enjoyed the whole spectrum.
Okay. And do they eat different things on the 5 nights or do they tell you what they eat?
I will say I would have liked a bit more focus on the menu.
So would I.
Where's the wine pairing, right?
Yeah. Well, I imagine that, you know, Ben Scallon, Izzy Kamikaze would eat quite different things, really. Like if there was a, you know, some of them might be vegan. If there's a big steak night, that might cause a bit of controversy.
It's wine, WH wine pairing.
Right. Our next show is Chad Powers. You can catch new episodes every Tuesday on Disney Plus. Here's a clip.
Hi. You here to try out? Cool. What's your name? Just need to know who you are, man.
My name's Chad.
And last name?
Is it? Oh, it's, Pal.
Palmero?
Palmero?
Oh, sorry, that's my original family name. When my dad came from the old country at Ellis Island, they changed it to Powers.
You said your dad was at Ellis Island?
Right, another kind of sporty type thing. Yeah. And is there anything original about this?
Like, quite literally nothing is original about this, right? So it is created by its star, it's a vehicle for him, Glenn Powell, who people will know from Anyone But You and the most recent Top Gun. He's kind of having his moment, Twisters, etc. He's kind of like, let's say, a new Tom Cruise-y type potential movie star. Mm. We'll see how long his career goes. It's also co-written by Michael Waldron, who has won an Emmy for writing on Rick and Morty, which is obviously this kind of very bizarre cartoon, but more recently is known for writing many of the movies in, let's face it, the flop era of the MCU. And it's all based on a viral clip from 2022 in which the New York Giants' Eli Manning, can't say I'm particularly familiar with him, but yeah. I think I do know his name, right? Very famous American footballer. He did this same thing where he went to an open tryout at a university. I think it was in Pennsylvania, but anyway, I'm open to correction, in which he donned a kind of Australian-style mullet wig and a fake prosthetic nose. And as a successful professional quarterback, went to surprise everyone with how incredible this random weirdo is, right? And Glenn Powell thought, I'll have a bit of that, right? Yeah. So it is exactly the same story. Glenn Powell plays a washed up former quarterback, Russ Holiday, who in the opening kind of prologue of the series, it makes a mistake on the pitch that involves the complete and utter implosion of his career. But he's also just not a very nice person in general. And in his attempt 8 years later to get back into the football team, he is quite literally bringing his special effect father's prosthetics to a studio when he sees a poster for Mrs. Doubtfire and thinks, oh, I'll have a go at that.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about Mrs. Doubtfire, which was the second highest grossing film of 1993, is it starred Robin Williams, who was like renowned, brilliant improv comedian and like, you know, impressionist and voice actor and all around seemingly good guy. And Glenn Powell, while very popular, is not exactly renowned yet, I would say, for any of those things, right? So what we heard there in the clip is his version of Chad, this kind of softly spoken oddball who then spends the first of these couple of episodes, you know, donning the makeup and trying to get on the team while keeping up with his cover story and so on, right? Mm. The other thing is, like, Mrs. Doubtfire is a 1-2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Right? This is 6 parts. And I'm a bit stretched to see where they can bring the story beyond where they already have. Because, I mean, how many times is he going to be avoiding water and his nose falling off and et cetera, et cetera. Right? All in, I also think, like, the prosthetics don't go far enough in that he kind of still just looks like himself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Glenn Powell has let himself go or been stung by a bee or something. Yeah. But like, it is very much exactly the same person. And in the kind of in football universe of this show, Russ Holiday is such a like renowned, despised household name that I just do not think that nobody would have noticed by now.
This is a Superman Clark Kent type scenario.
Very much so, yeah. Right? But look, all in, it's not as bad as I am describing here. Like, it is absolutely fine. But like, in the era of...
Could there be any more damning review? It's fine.
In the era of, you know, mass amounts of content released every single week, I don't know if fine cuts it anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, as in, for me, it didn't really do an awful lot. Glenn Powell, I will say, in fairness, gives it his all in the role, but he's not Robin Williams. And, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire works because of the anarchic, bizarro plot... Hmm. Buoyed on by this brilliant comedic actor giving it like 110%, which probably some people find annoying, but children loved, right? Yeah. Glenn Powell is not giving it 110%. He's probably giving it his 100%, but I don't think he's quite yet a renowned comedic force that like can carry this by name alone. And also, like, I'm not a sportsman in general, but I'm even less enthused by like American football and what and like a show that seems almost deliberately designed to kind of unite the the conservative southern half of America with Hollywood, because he's going to play for this like South Georgia team that are ironically named the Catfish, right? And all in, like, there's a kind of a bizarre subplot involving this guy named Danny, who's the team mascot, also helping him for reasons as yet unexplained. All in, it's just like half-baked. It's like a half-baked show, but it's fine. Like, it's not, you're going to be bored, but like, you're not going to be, well, I wasn't thoroughly entertained either.
Yeah. Well, I suppose Mrs. Doubtfire, apart from the Robin Williams factor, like, the story was about him trying to win his kids back.
Sure,
so there was kind of an emotional heft attached to this. I assume this is just about this guy was a bit of a dick and now, you know, he becomes more human by the end.
I would say that, yes, it is 100% that.
Yeah, okay. Right, our last show is Monster, the Ed Gein story. You can stream the entire season now on Netflix. Here's a clip.
All I wanted was a girl. Mm. Prayed and prayed to the good Lord for it, but was not his will, so I must abide by that. No matter how much it pained me to lay with your father. Oh, they only let him defile me twice. You know that. I told you that. It stank like a farm animal. And what did that shiftless drunkard ever give me? First, an evil son, who humiliates his mother and is determined to drag us all to hell. And then I got you, a son so prone to all manner of weakness, who seems set on breaking his mother's heart.
Not a comedy then. Right, so Ed Gein was a real person, real serial killer.
Ed Gein is the kind of one of the kind of proto-American serial killers, and was fond of many bizarre things with the corpses he dug up from graves. He murdered a small group of people, but he also dug up corpses from the grave and did various things with those corpses. A lot of them were female corpses, and you can put two together there.
Ouch.
But
yeah.
All in, I would say, this is part of the monster franchise, you know, on Netflix. It started with Jeffrey Dahmer, and then we got the Menendez brothers the last time. This time it's Ed Gein, I think actually is how it's pronounced. He's played by Charlie Hunnam, who's a British actor, best known for probably Sons of Anarchy. The thing I'll say about this is the best piece of criticism I've heard about it was the American writer Julie Klausner saying, "Charlie Hummina Hummina, he's too hunky to like possibly play this role." I mean, there are parts where, you know, he's doing this very affected, nice guy performance with a quiet, low voice, but like he's also this like hunk, right? Yeah. So it just looks, I mean, at times I thought it not only bordered on camp, it veered so heavily into it. Now, it is written by Ian Brennan, who's a longtime acolyte of the Ryan Murphy studio at Netflix, of which this is part of. It is a mess. It is absolutely a mess in terms of this. Now, like, this is our kind of third, if not our third go around of the monster franchise. And sort of, at least the last time around, it was following the Menendez brothers. So it was really about their kind of celebrity trial rather than the murder per se. But this is more in the Jeffrey Dahmer land of let's kill loads of people and do really violent, graphic things, which for me, I didn't find particularly appealing. Now, when it does bring in Vicky Creeps, I think she's Dutch, but she's playing German war criminal Ilse Koch, who is the butcheress of Buchenwald, in this subplot involving comic books that he reads, as well as you also then have him being an inspiration for Norman Bates in Psycho. So there's a sort of subplot episode involving Joey Polari as Anthony Perkins and Tom Hollander as Alfred Hitchcock. We also get nods to Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, who are all inspired by Ed Gein.
Right.
And if that wasn't lurid enough, because trust me, none of that is treated with sensitivity, when we get in the later series of episodes to other American serial killers, including Ted Bundy and others, and a vast number of sex scenes that I like, not to be all Gen Z about it, but even I felt were totally unnecessary. It felt like really this was just the messiest season of this so far. It has not got a clear through line of what exactly it wants to say about Ed Gein. It is really quite violent and viscerally so in ways I found particularly unpleasant. It is centred by a totally miscast Charlie Hunnam. The only saving grace really is who we heard in the clip there, obviously Laurie Metcalf, late of Roseanne and Lady Bird, as his mother, Augusta Gein, who is, you know, let's say is a bit of a proto that mother who is just not nice.
Yeah.
And therefore her son is a serial killer.
Yeah.
So look, she's a brilliant actress. She is very good at playing this horrible mother figure, but like that can only sustain you so far.
Okay, so it's not really giving you any insight into Ed Gein. It seems to be more lionizing him in that. Look at all these other serial killers he inspired.
I thought it was a very sympathetic approach to him, as in it implies that he is suffering various mental health issues and crises that result in him being not a very productive member of his local society in Wisconsin. Mm. But to me, it was quite soft on him and quite generous towards him, given the many crimes he committed. I thought it might be the death knell for the monster kind of franchise, because it has not been well received at all by critics, although it is in the top 10 of Netflix all over the world.
Okay, well, actually, one of our listeners says that monster series just doesn't know what it wants to be.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah. But there's another one coming. There already is pre-production on Lizzie Borden, who is the well-known American axe murderess, but not guilty in her trial. No spoilers. I think it was in 1850 something. So
Wikipedia, kids.
She'll be played by Ella Beattie, who is daughter of Annette Bening and Warren Beattie. So a bit of nepotism. Now, I will say what Ryan Murphy does get is always a great cast, but Charlie Hunnam totally miscast in this completely.
Right. Those three shows are Dinner with the Enemy. That's starting tonight, 9 p.m. Virgin Media 1. Chad Powers, you can get new episodes every Tuesday on Disney Plus. And Monster, the Ed Gein story, you can stream the entire series now on Netflix. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.